folks. First of all, I want to say that our prayers are with you.
Amen.
As we come today to celebrate the life of Corina Thomas.
Amen.
To me, it's a celebration.
Amen.
And I pray for you. It is a celebration for you as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's good.
Amen.
Amen.
He's always knows what's right and what needs to be done and when and how. Sometimes we don't understand why. But the Word of God tells us that one day we will understand.
Yep.
We will. At this time, I'm going to ask the preacher to pray for us.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for being so good to us, Lord, for loving us and caring about us, Lord. We just thank you that you're God, and beside you there is no other, Lord. We just thank you for letting us be here today, Lord, to celebrate our life, Father. Lord, I never met it, but one day I will, Lord God. And we have that hope, Lord, your children have that hope, Lord, that we're here again, Lord, that we've been washed in the blood, Lord, if we belong to you, Lord, if we're your children, and we'll see them again, Lord, and we hear brothers to say that she is saved and she's not suffering anymore, Lord, that she's just looking at you and praising you and worshiping you, Lord, and you know that she never want to come back to this place, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, we just pray that you touch these hearts, Lord, and help them, Father, Lord, the word to say can't do anything for them but your spirit can. Give them peace, Lord, and give them help, Lord, through these times. Lord, we just pray you touch them, Lord, and help them. Help Mark, Lord God, and help Rose and her daughters, Lord. Help the family, Lord, touch them. Move upon them in your spirit, Lord, and give them that peace and to know that if they're born again, they'll see them again, see her again one day, Lord. We just pray you help the preacher and help Matthew, Lord, to give them the words of have them to say, Lord, that we celebrate, Lord, her life, and it's, Lord, your life, Lord, that our life is your life, and we don't have no life without you, Lord. We just pray you'd have your way here today, Lord. Touch us and help us, Lord, and we ask in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
All right,
get your
songbook,
please, and turn to page 93.
Precious spirit.
Book of Psalms, we read 23. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me to the leads me in the path of righteousness in his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They prepare the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
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 Okay, this time, we're going to ask little Miss Solace Morgan. She'll come up and sing us a song.
What?
Christina Morgan come up and sing for us.
My hope is built on nothing less. today, and I'm very honored at the request, and I do regret the fact that I didn't get to know Karina any better than I did. I only knew her for a little while when we were younger and we walked to the bus stop together, you know. And it's one of those things where, you know, she was kind of, I think at that point she was probably like mid-teenager, and I was kind of upper elementary school, middle school, so, you know, now you're 5 or 6 years apart, you're, man, you're like in the same group, you know, you're facing the same stages of life at the same time, but when you're that young, that's a totally different world. So, you know, I didn't really get an opportunity to know her very well, but again, I'm very honored to be asked, and as I was thinking about what the Lord would have me to present today, among other things, my mind came to the book of Job, which might seem a little bit odd, but in the book of Job, what we have recorded here is a man who very much loved God. He knew God. He knew the God in a time where there was very obviously there was pagan worship going on, but Job worshiped the true God. And then there came a day that tragedy struck in Job's life. And it wasn't just a little bit. It wasn't, you know, to put it in our terms, he didn't wreck the car and, you know, whatever. But it was tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. Here we have a man that was in a position where the Bible said he was the greatest of all the men of the East. He was very wealthy. And in one day, as fast as he could get the news, not only did he lose every material possession that he had, more or less, but also every one of his children died on that same day, which, I mean, it's tragic. Not only did his children die, but he had servants that died. And so Job was in a position where all of this was happening to him. And God gave us the benefit of knowing what was going on behind the scenes. And I really believe that God revealed that to us in the case of Job so that we would understand the fact that there are times that God does things for his honor and glory, even though it looks like we're being punished. That's not what it is. And really, if you look throughout the book of Job, that was the whole discussion that was going on. And Job didn't have the benefit of having that revelation. We don't know who was given that and when. The Bible isn't clear whether it was during the lifetime of Job that God revealed that or whether it was sometime after. We don't know. But we do know that during the time that Job was suffering all of these things, he didn't know why. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes you hear Job preach, and a lot of times preachers will stick to the first or second chapter and they'll say, well, Job didn't question God. Well, of course he did. What do you think the rest of the 42 chapters are about? He did. But, you know, here's the difference now. It's actually, you know, it's all right to question what God does. Sometimes we want to know why. God, why are you doing this? God, why is this happening? With the full understanding that he does not owe us an explanation. God owes us an explanation for nothing. But sometimes in his grace and his mercy, he'll reveal to us the reason why. If we ask, it is perfectly all right to ask God why. What we ought not do, particularly as believers, is question God's character. That's not the same thing. Now, the folks out in the world, the folks that don't know God, we expect them to question God's character. They don't know him. But for those of us that know God, we have no right to question God's character. But it's absolutely all right to question why God does what he does. And then if he answers us, then that is the grace that God has showed us. And if he does not answer us, then what we ought to be able to do is trust God's heart enough to know that it's all right. What he says is all right. But, and so really, that's what the majority of the 42 chapters of Job are, is Job asking why. He's got all these questions, but what we find is in the midst of all those questions, let's look at Job chapter 19, in verse 23. And this, I had to include this verse. It doesn't necessarily pertain to exactly what I wanted to get to, but I had to put in this verse because of the way God answered this request. Job says here, this is Job speaking. Now you understand the book of Job, there are several different people who speak, but this is Job speaking. All that my words were now written, all that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen, and lit in the rock forever. He had no idea. He had no idea that God was going to answer that request in the middle of his pain. Because the Bible says that God's word is forever settled in heaven. Being graven in a rock is like writing it in pencil that you could erase compared to having it in God's word. So God answered that request in the middle of everything that Job was going through. But what did he say here? For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So in the middle of all the questions that Job had, and the things that he didn't understand, he was able to realize this one thing I know. My Redeemer liveth. And now we're talking about a man who is saying this at a time that there was no Bible. As far as we understand, the events recorded in the book of Job happened before Genesis was written down. There was no Bible. The only understanding they had of God is what God revealed of himself directly to them and was passed down from generation to generation. They knew how that God had made Adam and Eve in the garden. They knew about the fall. And they knew how that God had preserved Noah during the flood. They knew God. But even without the scripture, God revealed either through another prophet that we don't know about or directly to Job. We don't know, but he knew. He said, my Redeemer liveth. Not my Redeemer's going to live one day. Not my Redeemer at some point has lived and then left the scene. My Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
And he understood the concept of the resurrection. He said, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. Up to this point, the only understanding he has of God is either the Spirit of God speaking to him or what has been handed down. He's never seen God. But he says, I will. And mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my brains should be consumed within me. And, you know, when we come to places in our life where we have questions and we're going, why is this happening? We don't understand why this is happening. It is beyond our ability to comprehend. Probably, even if we had the information, we wouldn't be able to comprehend why some things happen. And, you know, it's the same thing, you know, with Karina passing. Why would such a young person pass away? I mean, we don't know. We don't know what God's plans are, right? But as believers, what we can know is that God has redeemed us. And because of that redemption, then one day, not only are we going to see Karina again, but even greater than that, we're going to see God with our own eyes. We are redeemed from the penalty of sin into fellowship. Not only fellowship, but sonship with God. That's what that redemption is. But the thing to understand is, you know, not everybody has that promise of that resurrection. It's only the redeemed. That's what Job said. Job said, my Redeemer liveth. He's my Redeemer. I have claimed him for myself. I have laid hold on the promise of God, and he is my Redeemer. But the only ones that look forward to that resurrection are those who are redeemed. And so what does the Bible say about that? Let's look over in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. In verse 1, the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And of course it goes on from there, and Jesus is having a discussion here with Nicodemus, trying to get him to understand what it is that he's saying. And you may ask, okay, what does being redeemed have to do with being born again? These sound like unrelated concepts. Well, on the one hand, God takes spiritual things and represents them to us through examples, various different examples of things that we would understand.
Yep.
Because the spiritual things in a lot of ways are beyond our comprehension, so he demonstrates them to us in things that we can't understand. But there are places in the scripture where God takes those seemingly different types, those symbols, and he puts them together. And when I was thinking about that, you know, the first thing that came to my mind was the Passover lamb. You probably know the account there. The children of Israel have been in bondage to the Egyptians for hundreds of years. And God sent plague after plague after plague on Egypt, and still Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not let the people go. And God said, there's going to be one more plague. And this plague, I'm going to put a curse on every firstborn son in Egypt. Every firstborn son. Every firstborn son in Egypt, the curse is placed on him. But he told his people, the Israelites, he said, you go get you a lamb. A lamb without spot and blemish.
Yep.
And on the day that I tell you, you kill that lamb, and you take the blood of that lamb and put it on the two side posts and above the door. And when I see that blood, I will pass over you.
Amen.
And see what happened here. That firstborn son, he was bought back with the price of the blood of that lamb. He was sold under sin. He was cursed because of the sin that was on that nation. But by the blood of that lamb, he was bought back.
Amen.
That's what that word redeem means. And then that redemption, what happened here? That lamb took the place of this other one that was going to die. The curse was on the boy. The curse wasn't on the lamb. The lamb had no curse. But the lamb was given in the place of the firstborn. And so because that lamb took the place of that firstborn son, guess what happened to that firstborn son? His place as firstborn has been taken. Now it is just as if he were secondborn, upon whom there was no curse.
Amen.
It is as if he was born again.
Yep.
And so we see here this redemption that Job has claimed for himself by the promise of God. That is being born again, and that is exactly what Jesus was telling Nicodemus about. Because let me tell you, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Our names can be on every church roll from here to time.
Yep.
It doesn't come from being a member of the right church.
Yep.
It doesn't come from going through the right ceremonies. You can be baptized until you're nearly drowned. You can take communion until you're full and ready to pop. But that is not what gets a person into heaven.
Amen.
Being born again is what the Bible declares gets a person into heaven.
Amen.
And we find that spiritually, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, when Christ redeems us spiritually, we're not just symbolically born again. Spiritually, we are actually born again. And the Bible tells us this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And obviously, he's talking about spiritually here because, when somebody gets saved, all of a sudden they don't look young again. You know, that's not how that works. He's talking about spiritually.
Amen.
Spiritually, we are a new creature.
Amen.
When Christ saves us. And so it's only redeemed that have that promise of the resurrection. I want to read over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord of the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
Notice it says here, the dead in Christ shall rise first. It's only those that are in Christ that are going to rise at this resurrection. But there is another resurrection. There's a later resurrection.
Yep.
Over in the book of Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now keep in mind, the first resurrection has already happened by this point. So those that are in Christ will not be among the dead at this point when this happens. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So everybody's going to take part in a resurrection. But only the dead in Christ are going to take part in that resurrection to life. That second resurrection is to nothing but death. Because if we're judged by our works, the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. You know, I've said it this way before. The best day you have in your whole life. You go, you get up that morning, you don't think an ill thought about anybody, you don't speak an ill word, you feed the hungry, you clothe the poor, you go help the sick, you visit those that are in prison, you do everything the best you could possibly do. At the end of the day, everything that you just did, by God's standards, is filthy rags.
Yep.
There is no works that we can do to get us into heaven, only by that redemption. That was the only hope that firstborn son had in Egypt. And that's the only hope that any of us have. But by God's grace, we have that hope.
Amen.
And so when we get to these places in life, when we have questions, when God is moving in a way that we cannot understand, that it feels like we're being punished, and God is not bringing to our hearts anything that we need to deal with. He's not saying, well, you need to deal with this in your life, or you need to deal with that in your life. Don't get me wrong, we all sin. But you know, when God's punishing us, He'll make it clear to us what it is that He's dealing with us about so we can get that thing right with Him. But when we're standing in that place and there's been disaster and there's been tragedy and we don't understand why, and God brings nothing to our heart to condemn it, if we know Christ, we have that hope that not only is what Romans 8:28 says true, that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, but that regardless of what happens in this life, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how hard it gets, we have a resurrection to look forward to, after which point we will never have another problem again. We will be with God forever.
Amen.
Be thou my witness.
In book.
In book.
I just wanna thank the Lord for saying,
amen.
Today I just wanna thank the Lord for my loving dear dad. He take it home. And I know she's not in pain anymore. And I can preach, and preach your mouth to say, the Lord knows what we did. And I thank him for everything, for every blessing. He gave it to us, he gave it special to me and my family. Just pray for me, I would like to say it.
Amen.
He's all I need. When I just need someone to talk to, he's always there to hear my prayer. Each time I call him and hold my need, he will supply my thirsty soul and satisfy, because he's the Lord all of us. He's all when I worry, see every pain.
Folks, that song's got a lot of meaning to it.
Amen.
Whether you go or whether you stay, you got Jesus either way.
Amen. Amen.
Right now, a very special lady that was in your life, she's in the presence of God.
Amen.
What more could anyone ask for than that?
Amen.
Folks, have you heard the phrase, we're just pilgrims passing through? It's what we are.
Yep.
This world ain't my home.
Nope.
Oh, I love America.
Amen.
And I wouldn't want to live nowhere else in the world. But I'm just passing through here. This is just a place where I dwell until I get where? Home.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read from you tonight, today, from John chapter 14. Very familiar scripture. I'm going to read all six verses, but I got one that I want to focus on. In John 14, verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." That's Jesus.
Hey.
Amen.
Amen.
This is read in my Bible. That's Jesus speaking.
Hey.
"In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to what? Prepare a place for you."
Hey.
Glory to God. He has prepared a place for Karina.
Yeah.
Amen.
She's there.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
"And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." That's some good news, ain't it?
Amen.
Yeah.
We got something to look forward to, folks.
Amen.
"And rather, I go, you know, and the way you know." Verse number 5, it turns back to black words. "Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how Can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, verse number 6, I am the way,
amen,
the truth, and the life.
Amen.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And right there's where I want to focus just for a minute. Jesus is the way.
Amen.
You know, Thomas couldn't see that. He couldn't see that Jesus was the way. Keep in mind, when this was written, Jesus hadn't went to the cross yet.
Right.
He was still there with them. But we're on the backside of the cross. We see what the Lord done for us. And the way that he prepared, the way he went, was through death.
Amen.
The way is death.
Yep.
To get to heaven, you have to die. And you know, a lot of people look at death as a bad thing. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm probably one of the weirdest people in the world. I'm looking forward to death. Because I know where it's going to take me. Death is nothing to fear. It's nothing to dread. Death is a portal, a door. Jesus says in John chapter 10, I'm the door.
Yeah.
Amen.
Death takes us to a place when we are Christians. It takes us to a place that is wonderful.
Yeah.
There is no, I'm going to tell you something. I might preach a few funerals down here, but when I get up there, I ain't going to be preaching no funerals.
Amen.
Because up there, nobody dies.
Yeah.
Nobody gets sick. They don't have any pain.
Amen.
Amen. All them things are gone. They're passed away. It says in Revelation chapter 21 that God shall wipe away all our tears.
Amen.
Amen.
This ought to be a graduation.
Yeah.
Because that's what Corinna's done. She has graduated into a better place.
Amen.
Folks, it's a time of celebration. And I know your hearts are broken. I know that it's breaking. And you're going to miss her. And, you know, there's going to be lonely nights, sir. There's going to be lonely days. And you're going to miss her. But keep in mind, you can't lose something when you know where it's at.
Amen.
I remember reading about King David. Yeah. King David, you know, he had that son there with Bathsheba. And that baby died. And while that baby was sick and dying, David closed himself up in his room and he wouldn't eat, he wouldn't talk, he wouldn't do nothing. But just as soon as David realized that that child was gone, he got up, he ate, he dressed himself, and he went and he worshiped God. And you say, why, preacher? Because David knew that if he was ever going to see that son again, where he had to go.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
So we see there that Jesus is the way through death. Death is something that each and every one of us is going to have to face. Somewhere along the line.
Yep.
And the ones left behind are going to be sorrowful.
Yep.
I tell my wife and my kids, when I die, you celebrate. You celebrate. They're going to cry. They're going to be sad. They're going to miss me. But just for a short time.
Amen.
Then it goes on to say that he is the truth. Jesus is the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
It is true. Folks, no matter what nobody tells you out there in that world, Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen.
There is no other God but God Jehovah.
Yeah.
Amen.
All them other gods that you hear about, they're false gods. They're not real. They do not have a son.
Yeah.
You go look at all them other religions. There ain't a one of them that claims that they got a son. And that he is the true son. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is the truth. The truth is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only begotten son.
Amen.
The only one is God. He claimed him right there in that verse of John 3:16.
Yep.
That none should perish but should have everlasting life.
Amen.
If they believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Question I'm asking, do you believe?
Amen. Amen.
Do you believe that he is the truth?
Amen. Yes.
That he is the only Son of God.
Amen.
And that he died on the old rugged cross and he shed his blood. Glory to God for you.
Amen.
That you might have everlasting life. That you may be able to travel through that door of death into eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. And it goes on to say that he is the life.
Yes.
There is no life without the Son of God.
Amen. Amen.
For to have that everlasting life, you must accept and believe and trust in Jesus.
Amen.
Without him, without Jesus, without that shedding of that blood, without him taking that blood that he shed there on Calvary's cross, and take that blood and make an atonement for our sins, there before God, on a mercy seat that's not made by man's hands,
right,
there in the presence of God, we have to believe that.
Yeah.
Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I've been a Christian long enough, I'm beyond the point of believing. I know.
Amen.
I have a certainty. And that's the reason why I don't hear that. When it comes, it's going to be welcome. Because I'm ready to go. I know what lies on the other side.
Amen.
Greatness, wonderful. Could you imagine? If you're in here and you're a Christian, you've been saved by the almighty graces of God, you know what lives on the inside of you, that Holy Spirit. You know, he's with me each and every day. He guides me. He leads me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel him burning in my soul.
Yes.
But one of these days, I'm actually going to get to look at him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
To be there in the presence of God. And, you know, the Bible tells us again over in Revelation that Jesus is the Son. There is no need for the sun that we see here. There's no moonlight. All the light comes from Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get to see him. I'm looking forward to that.
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
Amen.
Have you got that certainty that you know that you know that you know?
Amen.
Without any doubt.
Yep.
If the Lord would call you right now, where would you go? I know the way. And I know the truth.
Amen.
And I know without any shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is life.
Amen.
And life eternal. And everlasting and joyful.
Amen.
Glory to God. God, a wonderful, wonderful God.
Amen.
He deserves our honor. He deserves our praise.
Amen.
And He deserves our loneliness.
Yep.
Yes, it burns our heart to lose someone here.
But like I told
you, you know where they are. Amen. You haven't lost them.
Amen.
There's going to be another day that you're going to see me. You know, my mom and dad's gone. I got a little brother that my siblings don't even remember. My sister was too young and my brother was born after. It's in heaven. My mom, dad, my grandparents. One of these days, again, we're going to be reunited.
Amen.
Hey.
It's like the old song goes, don't the circle shall not be broken. Amen.
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 She's there waiting on me.
Yeah.
Amen.
She's there waiting on you. Boy, if she could only tell us what she sees. Son, preaching's been preached. And I'm going to tell you, I'm an old-fashioned kind of fella. We've got some bills down there in the basement that needs to be eat. And we need for each and everybody to get down there and get their fair share, because there's a lot of them. All right? So, at this time, I'm going to ask Preacher Mackey dismiss us from the service. Also pray for the food. And we'll go downstairs and we will celebrate the life of Corinne. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, brother.
Lord, I thank you for letting us be in your house today. I thank you for letting us all be together. We do thank you for the assurances that you've given us in your word. And God, how you show this truth by your Holy Spirit to us. God, we thank you that we know that we will see Corinne again, those of us that know you. God, I pray that if there be any in the building today that don't know you, that you would draw them to yourself. And God, that you would give them the faith to believe, and that you convict that heart, that one would be rescued that is lost, God. I pray that you would call us that one day, every person in here, God, that we would all be gathered around the throne, that we might worship you and bask in the light that you would give us in that day. And as Job said, that we will see with our own eyes and we'll be able to behold you, God. I thank you for that promise. And God, also we thank you for the food that you provided for us today. I pray that you bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. Please provide for those that don't have. And I pray that you give us good fellowship together. And as we go our separate ways, I pray that you would keep each one safe. And I pray that you would give comfort to the families that are grieving. God, that you'd be that for them which they need the most. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to ask the ladies to do it with them first. It's going to take care of getting through the evening. We'll all come down in a few minutes.
Thank you. Tell Matthew.